Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
What time is it? Morning. Morning, gentlemen. Morning.
It's quarter 12 at morning.
We just don't know when people are listening, do we? I like to mix it up for all environments.
So just say welcome all.
Welcome all.
Welcome. How are we doing? All right, you.
Your eyes on the men, Chrissy.
It's coming on, isn't it? I mean, dashing good looks are on the return.
Yeah. What about that Bolton Wanderers?
We are going up.
You must have been up partying all last night, weren't you?
Party poppers out, wig on, face paint.
Full comfortable kicks. In the end. Want it comfortable.
Yeah, did you see him celebrating with fans outside ground?
I tell you what I did see celebrating with the fans. The Derby lad.
That's outrageous, isn't it? They've obviously stayed up, right? They're in the car park dancing about with fans. They've just finished fourth bottom.
To be fair, like, because with 10 minutes to go, they were down, weren't they? So yeah. I can kind of see the emotion of there and then, but you'd like to think that Rooney would be like, come on, lads, get back in here.
Yeah.
Maybe just getting promoted. But
apparently they've got an up and top bus Thursday. We're around streets of Derby for staying up.
Hey, we missed our intro last week, didn't we?
We did.
Well, we didn't miss it, we did it, but something went wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, I lost it. Like in the last minute. Extra time.
So basically, we didn't have an intro last week because you fucked up, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty much how it goes.
Well,
sometimes
you've got to hold your hands up.
You've got to hold your hands up and say that.
Yeah, but you were trying your best not to hold your hands up then. You didn't just come in and say, lads, I fucked up on the intro last week, I'm sorry. You came in and went, we lost the intro. We didn't lose the intro.
Because I know how much you enjoy this, dressing me down. And I thought, I'll set you up, let you have your moments in the sun.
You lost the intro.
One day he'll surprise you, Chrissy, and go, don't worry about it, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Shit happens.
What about, we haven't spoken about Macari, have we?
No, we need to as well.
What an unbelievable human being.
I hope, to be fair, Katie's just come in now and said, you better not be talking to Baldy. She's Team Baldy. Honestly, she's absolutely Team Baldy. She says, you better not be talking to Baldy like that.
Bare bottom over knee again.
So she appreciates the work that you do.
At least somebody does. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, what a guy. Sensational, and I noticed, what he's done.
Like when he showed us round and the residents were walking around and he was just speaking to them the way, like, I can imagine him speaking to his players as a manager.
Yeah.
You know, half taking the piss, half giving them a kick up the arse.
When he said, oh, you can record here. Obviously, at the centre, I was expecting an office block and, you know, everybody's, the actual centre where everybody's staying would be a different building, but he's hands-on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Making brews, yeah, getting the meals going. And like you said, that real good relationship with everybody who's staying there. What was it, 46, I think, pods he's got.
Sensational, isn't it?
I thought it was good, like, because he was saying that when he's speaking to some of the residents on the morning, and then they'd be completely different in the afternoon, obviously, with the addictions and stuff like that. And I was like, has ever come to the point where you're like, just fuck off, just get out, you know, just because of whatever. And he just couldn't see the, he was like, I can't turn my back on them. You know, I understand the addictions.
The struggles.
I understand everything that goes on. So I support them. And I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I watched the film the other night, by the way.
It's a classic, isn't it?
What a film.
It's got everything.
What if you're ruining halfway through, aren't you?
Yeah.
What must the board have been thinking at the time, like when he brought him in? And but obviously they were winning and he was doing a good job.
The thing is, they were really struggling, weren't they? Like, they were really struggling. So I think the board must have thought, I tell you what, it can't get any worse. So we might as well just go roll with it.
Did you see the video when they won the BAFTA for the film?
Yeah.
And Nello's chicken suit.
what a very incredible guy.
Yeah, and so humble as well.
Like, yeah, I think that's come across as well. I think people have seen that, haven't they? How humble he is and what he's doing for everybody. And you forget the fact how good of a player he was in Arsenal.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
Stephen Davies this week.
Another good lad. Very, very good lad.
First time I've been in his company. Obviously played against him a bit, but first time I've been in his company and, top guy.
I never played with him, no. I met him on Billy's Stag, but just kept in touch ever since. And
whose stag do was it?
The King of Swindon.
Oh, Billy Painter.
Yes.
Yeah, Ed is in his office, didn't he? Bless him. Bought a couple of Britney Spears, job done.
Bloody awesome and all, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, well, I don't think people realise when they're watching or listening that we can't have aircon in these gas for sound, right? So we are like literally sweating our balls off.
Hard work, innit? It's hard work.
Hard work sat there. We sat there with a beer in your hand. When your body's at 38 degrees.
You did well yesterday. Sub.
What was your reaction?
Are you throwing your shirt down or what?
Hands up, innit? Hands in her.
Did the what was the reasons?
I'm tactical, I'm assuming. Must have been.
That's what they used to say to me, Chrissy.
Yeah.
Well, it's tactical, but we're putting on somebody exactly like you in exactly the same position. But it's tactical.
I come on after 15 and I come off on 75. So, you know.
No more fines.
No, I had paid me £1.50 for going to hospital last week. Two black eyes, a broken nose, and a £1.50.
I'd have given them it in one pence pieces.
Yeah, I think I would have done for that.
I've got the list here. A fiver for turning up pissed, £1.50 for being late, £1.50 for dirty boots, £1.50 for not going to the pub after the game, £1.50 for bottling a tackle.
That's not on your radar, bottling a tackle, though, is it? No. I've just got in my head Boris Johnson in that thingy game, that charity game, where you're just running as fast as you can and just can't stop your body.
£2.50 for a yellow card, £5 for a red card, and £1.50 if you lose.
Fuck me, it could be a tenner a week job.
Could be heavy, couldn't it?
If you're late because you're pissed, you forgot to clean your boots, a shit out of a tackle, and then you get beat. You're in for 12 and a half quid.
And you've got to get off early for a christening.
Yeah. Puddings are in at home, so you've got to get off. You can't go to Boozer.
Should we get Stevie in then?
Let's do it.
Steve Davies, how are we doing?
Yeah, very good, Paul, thank you.
What?
You mumbled that. Was that again? Stevie?
Stevie Davies? Stevie!
You all right, mate?
Yeah, good, Paul. Very good, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, superb, mate. Obviously, been a long time trying to get on and with this lockdown been tough, but yeah, glad to be on.
Did you two play together? Because you seem well acquainted.
No, I first met Dervo on the King of Swindon stag do.
King Bill. Yeah, that guy, was the first time, wasn't it, in the airport?
Yeah.
What were your first thoughts of a brownie? Because you can't come across an arsehole to when you first meet him.
To be fair, mate, he welcomed me.
Did he?
Straight in, yeah. Was Tommy with us, or was it...
Tommy Spur.
Yeah, you, Tommy.
Griff?
Griff, yeah. I remember Griff turning up, just had his wash bag, didn't he? 4-day stag do, he had a wash bag, mate. That was it. Just a wash bag.
Griff all over, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, he was top man, welcomed me in.
You can only be quite standoffish to start with, can't you?
Not on stag do's, John. That's why I come into my own.
Well, you could establish yourself early, though, weren't you, on a stag do?
Yeah, there's no...
You ended up meeting
your drinking
partner, didn't you?
You're on holiday.
Yeah, drinking partner in the end.
Where were it?
Amsterdam.
Yeah, so we can't really discuss too much.
We can't go to...
leave it at that.
Yeah, we won't delve into it. It was good, mate. Really good.
Did you play with Bill or just
not,
local?
Yeah, just same with Bill. So I actually met Bill through... I was on Frank Fielden's stag do in Portugal. And he had the same agent and financial advisor as Bill did. So I become friends with him.
You know, you've done a good job when you get a free transfer to the next stag do for someone you don't know. Yeah, you've done a good job.
Yeah, so, you made an impression.
It was like there was 3 or 4 years in between it. So I think Robert Snodgrass was one of their players as well, who I'd become friends with just through playing against them. And he was playing for Norwich at Liverpool. We all met up in town and Bill turned up. And then from there, mate, we were mates up until now. And that's when I met Brownie.
What do you mean up until now? Do you think after this you might not be mate?
Nah, King Bill. Yeah. I've got nothing bad to say about Bill.
You started at Tranmere.
Yeah.
How old were you when you...
So I was at Liverpool from 7 to 15. Got released just before YTS. And got the chance to go over to Tranmere, and I think I was just turned 16, and within 9 months I'd made my debut in League One, so it was something that happened really quick for me.
Debut at what, 16?
Just turned 17, I had.
Right.
Just turned 17.
I think it's a different place, Liverpool, for footballers.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to play football in Liverpool. You know, as a young, like everyone just plays football. I know they do all over the place, but so many people play football here, don't they?
To be honest, mate, I don't think I've ever played at a club where there hasn't been someone else from Liverpool.
Yeah.
I do a bit of part-time coaching of an evening. It was our first night Monday. We had from ages from 5 to 8. Mate, we had 480 kids.
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
Is that the natural progression for the lads that maybe got released from Liverpool and Everton to Tranmere come and knocking?
Yeah, well, especially at the time, because Tranmere were in League One, so they were still doing really well. They just had a good couple of runs in the Carling Cup and FA Cup and stuff like that. But for me, it took me about 4 or 5 weeks to get over the initial, I'm not going to be a footballer because you think the world's ended. But then from the minute I walked in there, they done sort of a trial 11 against the under 16s level, 11. And within 30 minutes, mate, they brought me off and was like, listen, we'll give you a 2-year YTS and a year professional, like within 30 minutes. So
job done.
From that point, it was like, right, I need to knuckle down and crack on. And as I said, within 9 months, I was in the first team.
Who's in charge? Brian Little?
Brian Little was in charge, mate, yeah. From the first day in pre-season, he was brilliant. Like, he pulled me straight in his office and was like, you're coming straight with us. Like, I'm not saying you'll be playing for us, but you'll be definitely training with us every day. And then
That must have been great for your confidence.
Yeah, I think because I'd just been rejected.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just something he'd seen. He was like, I needed my arm around me, or he just noticed it straight away. I don't know what he seen, but he just said to me, you'll be training with us straight away. I didn't actually play for a while, probably 2 or 3 months, but I was training with them every day.
Fact that he said that...
So I thought straight away, as even though being naive, I was thinking, I'm playing first day of the season here. Fuck this, I'm in. He's already told me.
Yeah.
If I just train well, I'm playing, just because I was still a kid.
How did your debut go? Like, personally, were you...
On a personal note, it was amazing because I've now played in a professional game. I know we played Oldham at home. It's one of them. Like, it was something that you'd always want to gear up to. But once I'd done it, I wanted more.
Yeah.
My first instinct from the minute I walked off the pitch was, I want more. Right, I've done that, what's next?
Yeah.
And that's the way I looked at it, like, throughout my career.
You come off your thoughts, you know, I best clean Macca's boots on Monday morning.
Yeah, well, even as well, mate, I had Ryan Taylors as well, who was playing. So the two of them were playing, and I was playing alongside them. But then after the game, taking the boots, like, may as well took them off the feet.
Thing is, you know, for a fact, if you don't do them, you're going to get a big-time bastard.
Yeah, and that's the way. I think that's what's changed in football now, especially
massively.
From retiring last year at Hamilton. Mate, the kids don't fuck all. The kids would, like, come in the dressing room because they're training with us or they're in the squad, and they'd sit in your seat. And you're like, mate, that says my name, you know. That means that's where I sit. Like, I can remember when I used to...
That's not you being big time.
No,
either,
that's just
the way
I was brought up.
Just
yeah, that's just the way I was brought up. I remember the first time we had an away game for Tranmere. Like, I must have stood up for half the journey because I didn't know where to sit. I just stood at the back of the bus, like, wait till everyone's
conductor.
So where you pick people up at different spots, like, oh, we're going to Knutsford.
Yeah.
We're going here. Mate, I stood up until, was that the last spot? Oh, fucking hell, sound, I'll sit next to the driver down there. I stood up the whole time. Just because...
That's what it was.
I didn't want, yeah, but that was the way it was. And I think that's what made football more enjoyable for me. Towards the end, I was like, fuck this. I was just really wasn't enjoying it.
Even if you ask a young man to make a cup of tea, they're like, oh, I can't make a cup of tea.
Yeah, don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to make a cup of tea. That's not you being a dickhead asking a young lad to make a cup of tea. That's just how it works. We'll make a pot of tea, young man.
I think I would just go and make it myself. I don't think I've ever asked a young man to make us a cup of tea.
Well,
I know you have.
Only mate, you'll make me coffee.
Yeah, he's just fucking had me making that.
But only as a meant to make a point.
Do you mean?
Like, only to like, look, you might have trained with us today, but you're fucking miles off it. You know what I mean? Don't think you can go into...
Bollocks, you're just a lazy bastard.
Yeah.
And if there's somebody there who'll make you a brew, you're asking him.
Well, yeah.
Do you want one, mate?
I'll go.
He was in there.
I'll
there.
Go for a brew. Just pause that. Do you want coffee? But you used to love being a YT, didn't you? Doing all the shit and all the jobs and all that. It was horrible at time, but it was...
Mate, I used to love the feeling of... Remember when you used to have to get up and sing? And it's like, you'd stand up. And your voice would just like completely break, and it's like
you used to love that,
mate. I used to think it was the best feeling in the world.
You were sick old, mate.
Yeah, I'd get up and be like, I know I can't sing, but
you go for it.
No, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't even go for it, but it's just the feeling of I'm uncomfortable. I used to think it's fucking great. This,
I've had a bottleless feeling.
Yeah,
right,
I could just keep this. That was just the way I try to live my life. If I was comfortable, I was unhappy.
Being out your comfort zone.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I'm sweating just thinking about that, flipping the tap on the glass to stand up and sing.
You remember it from here?
Do you know what, mate? This sounds really stupid. Them sort of years since I had my injury with my head, I remember them, but not completely. And I know it sounds like you look back and you think, fucking hell, it's just because you've had it happen. I swear on my kid's life, I can remember the times, but I can't remember specific things of what I've done or when I've done it. But I can remember games, if you know what I mean.
Let's move on a couple of clubs.
Hello, yeah. Maybe we'll see next.
22 games in your first season. As a 17-year-old?
Yeah, one of them where I don't think I started many games, probably 4 or 5, but whenever he needed to make a change, I would always be someone he trusted and relied. So from an early age, mate, I felt like I was respected for what I could bring to the team.
By the way, how old was Calvin Zwoller at this point?
39.
He was in the same youth same age group as me.
He's only just retired now.
I've mentioned him before. He was at Newcastle.
Yeah, mate.
Under 16s, and they had to release him because they found out he was fucking 29 or something.
Mate, when I was at Hamilton, we went to a place called Largs for pre-season. And is it Craig Brown who used to be Scotland manager?
Yeah.
He works for Aberdeen. And it was a bit like a meet and greet. So he was the manager's friend. So the boys all had a beer and he was talking and he was asking questions. Someone asked him who was the shittest player he's ever seen. Like, Calvin Zola. Honestly, he said, we signed him for Aberdeen. He said he was the shittest player I've ever seen in professional football. I thought he was decent.
Yeah, he was good at under 16s.
That's because he was 22.
Oh, he's developed.
Mate, he used to drive into Samir in a fucking Clio. I swear to God, he must have had the front seat taken out and he'd sit in the back and just drive it, mate. He was that long. He was just like...
Did he do all right at Crewe?
He was at Crewe, yeah.
Mate, he was a handful. Like a serious handful, but I think he just ate fairly quick.
that was a genuine story.
He left.
Because he was too old.
Yeah. Was he from Congo?
Yeah.
He was Congo, wasn't he?
Mate, when he signed for Tammy, I think he was 21.
that might be an exaggeration.
What year was your youth team then?
Well, I was at 84 birthday, so 2001, 2002.
Yeah, so I was 87. Birth. Yeah, so when he signed for Tommy, he still said he was 21, mate.
That's lying, isn't
it? And that was 2006. So if you was 01, 02, mate.
You look young.
Do the maths.
No.
He's one of them. You
bald.
Look old.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a tash. It's a ringer.
Yeah, his airline was up here already from the start, wasn't it? So it went to the cornrows, was it?
But
what were you like, Goodison?
Oh, brilliant, mate.
Because I played against him when he won another one. I think he was knocking on.
Yeah.
And he was just a nasty, horrible, like, elbow you.
Yeah. Mate, he used to, even from till the day I left, I hope he's back in Jamaica now so he doesn't listen. He's the only person I've ever seen in football that literally got paid cash, mate, every single week. Would literally bring his bag in and then leave with it. He was given cash, mate.
Has someone told a story about him? Is he up to no good in Jamaica or something?
I can't remember.
He was in with
the heavies.
Yeah, he was causing fucking havoc, mate. Well, he must have been there for 10 years, and every single week, mate, he was paid cash. He used to just come in with his bag, drop it off on the table, and then pick it up on the way out, and then jump in his car, mate.
But so we had negotiations, like, how much cash?
That's what I mean.
How much for cash?
Yeah, we do it cash.
Theodore Whitmore at the time, who played for Jamaica as well, who went on to manage Jamaica, played in a World Cup for Jamaica. And he used to live with Goody. And he'd just be like, everyone else, get your pay slip. And Goody was just in there, mate, like, go on, lads, fill that up.
I just see them all leather bags, you know, it's like, yeah, firm.
Like a sport bag.
Like a little purse thing. Yeah. Mate, he used to just, go on, lads, fill that up and just fuck off.
I played with lads who've had a top up.
Yeah.
They'll get the normal pay slip and stuff.
And then
they'll get looked after.
He was full cash, mate, every week. Full cash. He wasn't even monthly. Every week. Every Friday, mate, he'd be like,
he's on books as a cleaner.
Lads, fill that up. And then he'd just go home, mate. Crazy.
How long before Ronnie Moore come in?
12 months.
Right.
Yeah,
so were you sad to see Ryan Little go?
Yeah, but by that time, mate, he was starting to look old. Because if you can remember him at Villa and places like that, he always looked like my granddad.
A bit frail.
Like he was just old and, yeah, how can I describe it? A bit like what we were saying before, he just looked done. Like he wasn't getting angry. He just looked like
he'd had enough.
Yeah, I think he just had enough. And then
that his last job, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he went in and done anything else after that, but then Ronnie Moore come in and was the complete opposite. He was fucking like a lunatic, just screaming and shouting all the time. I remember he said something to me one day and I told him to fuck off and he didn't say anything. But you know, when you're like, he's fucking knows at that. No, like just after that, I wish he'd have said who the fuck you talking to. He just looked at me and was like, okay. And for the rest of the training session, I was thinking, oh fuck, he's going to get me at some point. He called me straight in afterwards. He was like, you fucking ever speak to me like that again, I will punch your head all around my office. And I was like, okay, Ronnie. Sorry, Ronnie.
So you only 18, is he?
Yes, 18, mate.
So but he just comes out, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Off. I was like, oh, fuck off, Gaff. I think it was like a throw-in. It was our ball and he gave it to the other team. I was like, oh, fuck off, you prick. And he was like, oh, no. But you know, when you say something, you're like, fuck off, you prick. And you're like trying to push it back in. That's what I was like, man, trying to catch it before it got to him.
The prick's probably the one that sends it over the edge.
He just looked, thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He just looked at me with disgust. He was just like, I'll remember that. And then he pulled me straight afterwards and threatened to punch me head in all over his office.
Apologise.
Oh, yeah, fucking right, I did. Do you want anything, Ron?
Leeds come in for you?
Yeah.
A few times.
4 or 5 times, mate. So we played Leeds the following season on the first day, and I jumped in my car after the game, and I had, like, a number ringing me, and I was like, who the fuck's this? So I answered the phone, and he was like, hi, Stephen, it's Gus Poyet. I was like, what? It's like, hi, Gus.
Hi, Gus.
Just changed my voice straight away.
I did what you've, yeah. I had Gus up. I miss a boy.
Yeah, I just froze, mate. Because he was obviously, we just played them. He was assistant manager. And he was like, really impressed today. We're going to do everything we can to get you. So I was like, right, okay. I was like, what's the process now? He was like, no, you just keep playing. I just wanted to make you aware that we're watching and we're going to get it done. Mate, 9 games later, they've had 4 or 5 offers rejected. I done me fucking cruise shit. And I just panicked straight away. I was like, shit.
I'm not How long did you have left?
I was up at the end of the season. This was the third season. So I was up.
Had there been talks of giving you a new contract?
No, nothing. Like, they hadn't said anything.
Sloppy from them, really.
Yeah, so it become really awkward because I'd now done my cruciate. Leeds are still phoning me. They still want me. But Samir aren't doing anything. Like, they were just sitting there. So I actually spoke to Ronnie Moore as a, not as my manager or anything, like more as a, like, I need advice. Like, you know I'm struggling. Am I going to be the same? I'd had the surgery. And he was like, what are Leeds saying? I was like, mate, they want me to go there to have a look at it. He was like, go on. He said, take the day off and go.
That's
so I went to Leeds. They were like, brilliant. It's fine. We'll put another offer in. If it doesn't happen, we'll just sit and wait till the summer.
Compensation? That would have been.
It would have been compensation. Yeah.
That must have been a massive relief, that. Because you're thinking, fucking hell.
Yeah, it was up until fucking yeah, but Dennis Wise got sacked then, didn't he?
Oh.
So I'd done my medical. Didn't talk anything about contract. And he got fucking, he got potted. So he was gone. So I was then about 5.5 months in to my rehab. And I was thinking, shit, I need to like let clubs know that I'm back. And played against Forest because we was in the playoffs and Forest were in the playoffs. Come on for like 10, 15 minutes. And then straight after the game, Paul Gill phoned me from Derby and was like, right, you're coming here in the summer. So I was like, 100%.
They'd just been relegated.
No, the season was still going on. So I went to, straight away went into Ronnie Moore and said, listen, this isn't moving. You aren't budging on, you haven't offered me a deal. He was like, listen, I'll tell the chairman that the club's reached out to you about next year. Let's mention it to her and see what she says. So then she started coming back with offers. But by that time, mate, I was long gone.
Heading Derby.
Yeah.
Did it have to go to tribunal?
Yeah, it went to tribunal in the end. But it was like, it was just messy, everything. I think
does that affect you at all, like going to tribunal? Like, I don't know the process.
You signed your contract and then do the sort of tribunal at the fee after it?
I think so, yeah.
I played five, six
games before the tribunal actually come round.
Mm. So yeah, players don't get involved, do they, really?
No. I was never aware of what was going on.
So on a personal level, you're sorted.
Yeah.
You sign your contract, you're a Derby player.
Just let them get on with it.
If the tribunal says it's 10 million quid, they've got to pay it. Or 100 grand, they've got to pay it.
Yeah.
So from a player's point of view, you're not worried, are you?
I was laughing, mate. I was like, see you later, I'm gone.
What was the fee in the end?
I think adding it all up together was like 1.2 million. All
big
in.
Money then.
Yeah.
The Tramie is still doing all right at it then.
Yeah, fucking flying.
They might have known that then. They might have known.
Yeah, listen, I was made up that they ended up with that amount because it pays for young lads from my area to come through. So I wasn't worried about the fee as long as they got something that they deserve, which they did. I was just more bothered about the way I was treated.
How was it with Barney Rubble?
Paul Gill. Brilliant, mate. To be fair, absolutely brilliant. I agreed to go there. And Derby were playing Everton in the Premier League at Goodison. So he's phoned me and was like, Dave-o, where are you? So I hadn't come back and played the game for Tommy yet. It was Grand National Day. So I'm fucking at Aintree, mate, steaming. I'm like, shit, Paul Gill's ringing. So I phoned my agent. I'm like, Paul Gill's ringing, what am I going to do? He's like, just fucking answer. So I'm like, right, let the race go off. So the race gone off. Now all the fans go to the track, don't they? I'm like, fucking running the other side. I'm like, hey, Paul, you're okay? He's like, where are you? I was like, I'm at Aintree. He's like, be outside in half an hour, I'm outside. So I'm like, oh, shit.
Slurry?
Yeah, it's steaming. So come outside. There he is, parked up. He's like, come on, son, you come to the hotel with us. We're playing Everton tomorrow. So he's took me to the hotel.
Pissed.
Made me stay in the hotel. Still pissed.
Bit annoyed.
Fucking fuming.
Didn't even see you won the race.
Yeah. Mate, it was literally just before the National. Made me stay in the hotel with the team. Got up Sunday morning. He was like, right, there's your tickets. I'll see you at Goodison. That was it, mate. I think it was just a little power of, like, you play for us now. Even though I still...
Pulling you away from...
I still had my contract. I was still a Tramier player. But I'd already agreed that I was going there.
But Paul Jewell can't have known you were into races, could he?
No, I think he thought it was a good thing, like, come and see how it's done here at a big club, come and stay at the hotel. Mate, I got up the next morning in the suit, still had the suit on.
Still on.
Members in clothes.
Yeah, the lads are sitting at breakfast in the shorts and T-shirt. Mate, and I'm sitting there in a full fucking suit thinking, I look a right prick here. Just like, aye, mate, you all right? It was fucking horrible. That's how it come about, mate, and that's exactly what he done to me.
Probably a good from him, really.
He was a top bloke.
Good that he didn't like think, no, I'm signing a piss out of you.
Yeah, probably.
But it's Grand National, isn't it? Your Aintree, your Liverpool lad, and that's what.
Yeah, it's a massive day. I don't know if you've ever been to
it. No. Is he scout as well, Joel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a massive day for the city. It's a massive 4 or 5 days for them. Like, I think even people that don't gamble on the Grand National Day, mate, literally everyone in the city has had a bet.
Best day of year to do an armed robbery, you know, Grand National Day. Yeah. Most money at bookies.
Wouldn't be surprised, mate. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I'm thinking about doing one, but if it's the best day.
Give us a shout, mate. I know a few bookies.
Half past five, Saturday, Grand National Day. Best day to do an armed robbery.
We're at an eye opener. Obviously, first state training ground, because I imagine facilities are a lot different than at Tranmere.
Yeah. Walking into a dressing room, mate, when fucking Robbie Savage is in there is enough to be like, oh, shit. Because he was full on. Like,
on you?
Yeah. On everyone. Even players that was... We had Alan Stubbs, people like that. Roy Carroll. All big, big personalities and big footballers. So it was literally sink or swim.
Do you think Robbie Savage will like that full on? Because, and I'm not holding it against him because he's had an incredible career, but do you think he will like that to mask over the fact that he weren't a great player, if you know what I mean?
Mate, you know, honestly,
I don't mean that Robbie Savage weren't a great player, obviously, but you know what I mean?
I think he was better than what he was perceived to be.
Yeah.
Because in training, he was fucking incredible. People just... Because the way he played, and because he was gobby and mouthy and all action, I think he was just labelled shit. Well, not shit, but like not up just to a level.
Limitless chicken.
Yeah, but he weren't, mate. Like, his ability was really good. Like, I don't think you can be shit in how many...
Yeah.
Is he 10 years?
You don't get many really good players that are chirpy like that, do you? You know, that are... At people, yeah, that reputation. I think somebody's one or the other.
I think that his persona gave him that little bit extra when he played, because if he was quiet or
people are concentrating on his football more.
Yeah, I think that was his mask. Like, he was a showman, like Robbie Savage when he gets on the pitch, because he's completely different off the pitch than he was on it.
Thing is, I wouldn't blame him if his self esteem was low, because he's had managers saying to other teammates, do not pass the ball to Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had every right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I believe that, I honestly believe that he was insecure and low and down.
Did he get you with a big time shout? So we had Dicko, he used to come for Dicko, didn't he?
To be fair, mate, I signed about 2 weeks before Dicko.
Took all the heat.
And once Dicko came in, mate, I was fucking buzzing. I was like, when he walked in, I was like, that's, have you seen it?
He's done himself.
Look at his face.
Yeah, look at them fucking 10 to 2. But no, listen, Sav, I think that was Sav's character. Like, that was the way he would welcome you into the team. But because I'd seen it with Jason McAteer and Gareth Roberts, players like that who'd had good careers, I was just used to it. So I would never challenge him. If he was taking a piss out of me, mate, I'd just... Sit down, take your medicine.
Yeah.
Like,
see anybody turn on him?
Thing is, he had Bywater as his security, didn't he?
Yeah, right. Bywater was his fucking roommate, weren't he? Mate, I'll tell you a funny story. We went to Marbella and it was an international break, so we've all got our rooms. So we're all in the hotel. Sav and Stevie are in the hotel. Sav's like, fuck, I'm not fucking staying in this. He's like, round the pool, I'd like, know the little villas. He was like, I want one of them. So lad's like, fucking prick. Like, the fuck's he think he is?
You think he's too good for the hotel that he's stopping in?
No, I think he just wanted to be in his own comfort. Like, he didn't want to be, because there was no training or anything going on. It was literally just a piss up.
Was this under Cluffy?
Yeah, and Sav wasn't a very big drinker. So he had his own little...
I think it's part of playing up to the persona as well. You know, being a bit...
Yeah, I think...
You know, I'm going to get. I'm gonna go for one of them.
Yeah, but he had his own... He ends up sort of organising his own villa, which overlooks the pool. So the lad might wear on it for 4 days, like, really going for it. We get on a bus to go home. And so we're all sitting on a bus ready to go. And Gary Crosby, who's assistant manager, comes on. He's like, yeah, Sav, reception, won't you? He's like, want me? He's like, I've paid for me fucking, paid up front for the room for 4 days. He's like, reception, won't you? So he goes in, mate, every single bevy that we'd had throughout the week, every player put it on his room. He had a €4,500 bar bill. And he just got on a bus and was like, you cunts. And we were like, that'll fucking teach you.
Did he take it all right, though?
Yeah, he just paid it. But that's what, that was, like, we had Gary Teal, players like that who had all played in the Premier League and was on, had been on good money. They were like to us, he just put it on Saturday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Every time you went to the bar, they were like, what room? You just go, that one over there. That,
big, like, that big villa in the corner.
There's a lot staying in there.
So, because it was overlooking the pool. Like, you didn't even need to know where it was. You just
go, nah, I'm asking for an itemised bill,
really. Excuse me, love. That one there.
One of the boss and he went, I don't even bloody drink WKD.
Yeah, but Saf doesn't drink. I don't think, I've never seen Saf drink. But he got whacked, mate, with this fucking whopping bill. And he just walked on the bus and he was like, you cunts. And everyone was just crying, laughing.
Yeah, but to be fair,
he just swallowed it, mate. And just was like,
nah, I'm itemised, Bill, me. Who's been on the pina coladas? With highlights like that. It's €320.
That's it, driver. Do not start this bus until we've sorted this out.
But it's funny because at that time we had, like, Jay McEvely was there, Stephen Pearson. And them two, mate, once when they were together, were fucking carnage.
See, he came to Stoke on loan, Stephen Pearson, and he seemed really quiet.
Mate, he was a lunatic. Absolute lunatic. We went there for 4 days, flew back. So we're now at the carousel. So we've been there for 4 days. We're now at the carousel waiting for our suitcases to come back. Jay and Piero have been arguing for 4 days because they're in the room together. So Piero's one side and McEvely's the other side. So they get the cases and they live together also in Derby. So Piero goes to Jay, where's my car keys? And Jay just turns around, mate, as normal as anything, and goes, in the safe, mate. And he's like, you are taking the piss. He's like, yeah, they're in the safe.
At the hotel?
At the hotel back in Spain. Mate, we're in East Midlands Airport. Mate, we're in East Midlands Airport, but just dead calm, was like, in the safe, mate. And he's like...
I just nip back in again.
Like, nah. He's like, yeah. He was like, yeah, but you took everything out. He went, yeah, I took the passport out. You didn't tell me to take the keys out. And he was like, you fucking idiot. So they sat at the airport, mate, for hours waiting for someone to come and get into his car for him. Fucking crazy.
I remember speaking to Crofty, and during the international breaks, we always got our weeks planned, didn't we? Like, you'd get a couple of days off, wouldn't you? And then you'd get the weekend off.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we're going to Miami.
Yeah, that's what
you used to love Miami. It, didn't he, Clough?
Yeah. He never came.
Unbelievable.
But...
Did he not?
No. Never, ever.
Who did he send? With Crosby?
He'd say Gary Crosby, Andy Garner, and Martin Taylor. But he'd be at the airport because he had a place in America, I think, with his family. So he'd always book our flights for the same time as his. So he'd be in the airport, get everyone steaming, and then just fuck off. Go on his family holiday, and we'd all just pile into anywhere.
And was it just from as soon as the plane takes off?
Mate, the first time we got the Marbella one sorted, we had a game at Malaga Stadium. The fans got wind of it, and about 10,000 of them turned up at Malaga Stadium. We were playing Malaga in a pre-season friendly, and we were drinking at the pool at 11 o'clock, and the game kicked off at 8 o'clock. We had fucking Martin Taylor, who was the goalie coaching goal, because the goalie was steaming. Gary Teal was throwing up on the back of the bus. I played 5 minutes, got hooked off because I couldn't see. Mate, it was just an absolute car crash. Our own fans were booing us because we were getting beat about fucking 7-0. And we were all laughing. When the ball goes past you and you're like, mate, the ball's fucking long gone. It's gone. But we were fully...
I bet there were some like proper busy fans as well that had come for the game.
Yeah.
They weren't doing it. What are they doing? What are they doing? Taking the piss.
Honestly. And so when we've got back after the trip, Nigel was like, what the fuck happened there? Martin Taylor was like, you can't control them. And he goes to Gary Crosby. Cros, you're meant to be fucking sorting out. He's like, I said to them, they could sit around the pool and have two beers. He said, I went to my room, come back down. He said, there was fucking unicorns, crocodiles, big inflatables. He said, all in the pool, the lads are fucking flying off. Honestly, pre-match meal, mate, lads were having a bottle of lager with the pre-match meal. And then, we think, do you know that fear of, I'm pissed, but I reckon I could sober up. So we're like, everyone sat on the bus, the air cons fucking beaming on people. People like, that's twisting it. And then you just mate, Gary Teal was sat in the middle aisle and he just spewed up. But then as the driver's braking, the way it just travels up, so it's like getting to the next people and they're
and it'll be rising with the heat as well.
Mate,
the
before
smell.
You know it, everyone on the bus is like that in bags, like trying to be sick because of the smell. He must have got off the bus, mate. The fans were there and the lads were like, it was roasting, mate. Like the hottest I've ever felt. Like hotter than this room. But it was like, oh shit. So that feeling when you're pissed and you're like, and I better curb here. And then you get outside in the fresh air and you're like, how am I gonna get home here? Like I'm proper in trouble.
Worse than what I thought.
Mate, well once you put your boots on and walked out in the sun just like boom, you're like,
oh shit.
Oh fuck, what am I gonna do? But it was
probably it was mid season, when it wasn't like a pre season do.
It was the first break, so it's still piping, isn't it? So it was the first one in late September, isn't it?
You're announced
when you walk club. Out.
Yeah, at the club, you used to say to the lads, right, we've got, you're going to have the week off. Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And it turns, he said, Big Ben Turner said, you got to the point where the lads were like, I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, it did get like that.
I don't want to go again.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll go Miami, we'll go Vegas, we'll go Marbella, whatever.
When you walk out as well in Malaga, they're doing doggies in perfect unison.
It's not like when they're all dead brown and with the jet black back perfectly and you're like that.
Just the escape to victory, can't you? You know, Germans are all fucking meticulous.
A special thanks to one of our sponsors this week, Charles Towit.
Hey, we've done well with this one, by the way, haven't we? Because we've had some gear sent.
We're looking $1 million, aren't we? The problem I find when I'm buying a shirt, something lets us down. Whether it's in the sleeves, the collar's too tight, it's too short. But this, we could send our measurements, couldn't we? And everything was crisp, tailored, fit like an absolute Roche glove.
Do you know me? Scruffy chic.
Yes.
They've brought me back up to the respectable age, I think.
You'll still wear your snapback though, won't you?
Oh yeah. Shirt, chinos,
Vans and a snapback.
But yeah, very, very happy.
Yeah, I'm happy with the quality as well, by the way.
Yeah, very happy with the fit. Being a taller gentleman. We struggled, don't we, John?
I'm a taller rounder gentleman, that's my problem.
Yeah, but they came up trumps for me.
I think the body description is light bulb. I think it is
light
and then just slim, and then just start wavering around the hips, around the hip and belly area.
More of a beaker, I think.
Pine jug,
bulbous at the bottom.
All right, let's move on, lads.
know, they've sent us some stuff, and it's the quality, like you said, quality at all. You're putting your measurements, and they're precisely fitted, aren't they?
By the way, I had a look on the website as well, reasonably priced.
Yeah, that's another big thing.
Well, very reasonably priced.
Well, as listeners of the show, they're sending us an exclusive introductory offer for the listeners. You can enjoy shirts and polos for only $24.99 and knitwear, and it's good quality knitwear as well, from $29.95 with a 6-month guarantee and free returns. All you've got to do is go over to the website, charlestyrwhit.com. That's charlestyrwhit.com. Or you can go in store and use the code COSH24.
Also, you can do it in store.
You can do it in store as well. Just tell when he's putting everything through, just whisper him over. The guy behind the counter, just, hey up, son.
Gas on.
COSH24. And that's it. Are we knocking your price right now?
Do you know that total there, big one? No.
Come here, words of the wise.
Not on my watch.
Little whisper as well. You could get him right in. Whisper him over. COSH.
I just said to him, Garçon, you got a pen and paper, big one? Just write COSH24. Boom, there you go. Just slip it across the counter.
You're giving a secret tip in the handshake. Except you're not giving him a fiver, you're giving him a piece of paper that says COSH24 on it.
if you're wearing it under the COSH hoodie at the same time, you get an extra 25% off. Oh.
But no, you don't. That's yeah, total fabrication. Yeah, that's a lot.
That was a lie.
Yeah, we'll get him bothered.
Yeah, so all you're going to do, go to the website or in store and give the code COSH24 at charlestyrwhit.com.
I was Bywater on these trips because we've heard a few tales.
Oh, Stevie's just a fucking lunatic, isn't he?
I think he's a lunatic. We aren't knowing he's a lunatic.
Yeah,
and he just thinks it's normal. We aren't meaning to be a lunatic, yeah.
Mate, I remember sitting in the dressing room with them and he was telling me about, he was booking a holiday for him, his missus and his two kids. Don't know if he's got more now, but he had two kids. So he was booking a flight. So he's like, yeah, Dave, do you think this is a good price? So I'm sitting there thinking, is he fucking winding me up here? I'm like, I know there's four of them. I'm like, Stevie, that's expensive for four people, mate. He's like, no. Like, look, have a look, closer look. So I'm like, go ahead. So he gives me his phone. Mate, he's paid for 12 seats. I'm like, mate, there's only four of us. He's like, yeah, we sit in the middle. We've got four seats in front of us that are spare and four seats behind us so no one can sit by the kids. And this was like 2008. So this is like well before the times we're in now. So he's paying for holidays for
12 people.
For 12 people just so no one sits by him.
I wonder if he's got rooms next door at a hotel and all, so there's no noise.
He's just a fucking lunatic. I'm like, mate, surely it can't be that bad. Like, he's like, yeah. But as he's talking to you, he's got like his hand gel. And he's like squeezing it on. And then he's like,
was he a bit like a germ freak?
I think he is. I'm not too sure, mate. To be honest, he's that much of a fucking lunatic. I never asked.
He's been way ahead of his time then, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he brought it over here. I thought, I'll wipe these out. But no, he was some character. I remember him falling out with Nigel, like a big, massive falling out. We played on the Saturday. And Nigel was fuming that no one had, like, made any tackles. So on the Monday, we've come in, Nigel's like, fucking get your shin pads on. Calls us all in. So we've all done the warm-up. He's like, right, we're having an 11v11. He said, I don't care. If the ball's not there, just fucking wipe out whoever's on the other team. So there's lads, like, playing at right back and the ball's on the left wing, mate, just getting wiped out by me playing up front just because he said, just kick everyone. But the ball's gone through to Bywater. And he's come out and slid now to get hold of it. And Chris Porter's jumped over him. Oh, mate, as soon as he's jumped over him, there's murder. Right, he calls training off. Fucking get into this circle. So we all come into a circle. He turns out to Chris Porter, this is Nigel Clough, and goes, wipe him out, take his head clean off his shoulders about Bywater. So he's had this, like, five-minute rant, and you can see Bywater standing there. And he's gone, right, that's it, fuck off, back in. Bywater's gone. Just before we go anywhere, lads, if you ever tell anyone to take my fucking head off, I'll come round to your house. I'll kill you. I'll kill your missus and I'll kill all your kids. Mate, he just walked off the pitch himself, clapping his hand, shouting, England's number one. And just fucked off and just literally walked in from training. And it was like, mate, you've just threatened to kill the gaffer's family. And you think you're England's number one? You're not even Derby's number one, mate. But I didn't have the arsehole to say it. I think that was the Monday, mate. On the Tuesday, we're playing Blackpool away. So we've travelled to Blackpool, Bywater's gone. Not even in the squad.
Because of that incident.
Because of this row, yeah. So we've played Tuesday, we end up getting beat 2-0. On a Wednesday, we're all off as normal. On the Thursday, I dropped Gracie off at nursery. So I was in for like 8 o'clock. As I've drove in, I'm like, fucking hell, the gaffer's in early. Gone in, not thought anything of it. Walk past the gym, Bywater's like, Davo, come here. I'm like, what? He's like, oh my car, lad, in the gaffer's spot. I'm like, oh, mate, you haven't. He's like, yeah. He says, just sit here. Sit here with me till he pulls in. So I'm like, right, go on then. So I'm sitting there, mate, giddy as fuck, thinking, what's he going to do? Gaffer's car comes in, pulls up, goes to get in the space, obviously sees Stevie's car. Stevie double taps his boot. Boot comes up, mate, orange helium balloons. To the back. Just came out the booth and started flowing off the windscreen.
That's brilliant. Oh my God.
Mate, started flowing over his windscreen. Now, just like that, with his fucking wipers on. Trying to get rid of them.
I wasn't expecting that, lad.
No.
Mate, honestly, that's what he done. But didn't say anything. He's just like, Davo, just come sit here. So I'm just sitting there, mate. He pulls up, just fucking double taps, mate. The booth opens and he's just like a race. They were all racing to get out, mate. And I just sitting there like, what the fucking chance?
Thing is, he didn't know you were going to be in early either.
No.
So he'd have been more than happy for that just to be between him and Clough.
Yeah.
It may, anyone that was in the building, he would be buzzing. But just, honestly, the look on his face is just like, what's this? And I'm like, next minute, all these balloons start just rushing out the back of his car. And Nigel was just like, but which is bizarre because Nigel then took him to Burton.
Yeah.
And had him for years afterwards. And when I went to Burton because I'd left Bradford and I had no club. So Nigel said to me, just come in and train, take over. So I went in. Man, they were fucking thick as thieves, the two of them. Like, see, best mates.
I think if that happened to me, I'd respect that. Do you know what I've been like?
It's up there with one of the best things I've ever seen.
I can imagine.
It's like Thursday morning, 8:15, so you've just been pumped anyway. Like Wes Ulaan was taking the piss out of us. No, when they were flying, like playing little passes around everyone. And these Stevie's obviously thought, right, well, I'll get you. And he's fucking orange.
Yeah, so he spent all day Wednesday planning it, hasn't he?
Oh,
yeah.
Mate,
what can I do?
Yeah.
Fully planned it.
He wouldn't have just gone to a shop either, Bywater, would he? He'd get a canister of helium in his eyes.
Mate, it was just the way...
Just wait till tomorrow.
It was like they were coming out, but like it was like they were attacking Nigel's car because they were all over his windscreen and Nigel's put his wipers on it to try and get rid of them.
Did you see Nigel come in?
No, I did a fuck, mate. I legged it out. I literally, once the balloons had filled his windscreen, I was out there.
You're on your own, Steve. I don't know what to do with this.
It's all you, mate. But that's all he done, mate. So after singing, he was England's number one to filling his car up with his balloons.
Jack in the box.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's incredible, by the way.
Mate, it's some shout. You could think it. And then, like, Tuesday night after getting beat, you could be bitter and sour, couldn't you? Going, well, I'll fucking show him. He's had like 72 hours to think, is this the right move? And he stuck to his guns. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling it. But they also started flying.
I think that's because he was that confident in his own ability that he thought, well, if I get fucked off from me, I'll get somewhere else.
I think it's just because he's fucking, he'd probably just got him in a choke or something if he'd have said anything, mate. Like he was that serious.
A bit of cage fighting and stuff.
Yeah, mate. He was fucking serious, mate. Like, he'd scare you. even though he's like he's so placid and like you could have a really good conversation with him, but then like just one thing will switch and you're like, mate, what the fuck's going on in your head? 4 or 5 years later, when I said to you, I went to Burton, he was just dead placid, like nothing fazed him. He was dead laid back. Like, he was still fucking mad with his hand gel. But he was like, he wasn't confrontational, where I think at the time, he loved confrontation. And because Roy Carroll was always the keeper there as well, and he was a fucking lunatic. They were just, the pair of them, mate, were just fucking wild. Like, Roy Carroll, I must have been 20, so we played. And at half-time, Nigel Clough was screaming at Roy Carroll. But as he's screaming, it's like a bit of spit went on Roy. And Roy just stood up, mate, and was like, you just spat at me. And Nigel was like, no. He was like, you've just fucking spat at me. And then there's just a big fucking ruck because Roy thinks that Nigel spat at him. But Nigel was just shouting. So he brings him off for half-time anyway. Fuck, I can't even remember who comes on.
England's number one.
England's number one must have made it in. So he's in goal. So after the game, we're getting changed and Roy's still there, like sitting there, like, I'm waiting for Nigel. I was like, mate, just leave it. Like, you've said your bit. He said his bit, just fuck it off. So I thought nothing of it. I've left the game, drove back to Liverpool to see my mum and dad. I'm driving back Monday morning, like 5:30, because I've got to be in. My phone rings. Roy. I'm like, all right, Roy. I'm like, everything all right, mate? He's like, I've tried everyone, lad. No one's answered. You're the only one who's answered. I'm like, what's up? He's like, come to Nottingham and pick me up. I need to get into training. So I'm like, okay, mate, no worries. Send me the address. I'll come and pick you up. Gives me address for the casino. Turn up at the casino, mate. Roy Carroll walks out in the fucking club suit that he had on Saturday for the game and just jumped in the car, mate, and went to training as normal. So he'd been out from the game all day Sunday night till Monday morning, just because he had the conflict with Nigel and he had no switch off point. Like, he just held it.
Yeah, like he just held it. Would it pissed Roy or not?
Nah, because he wasn't really. He used to have a bevy, but he wasn't like when he got in the car reeking a veil. He still had the same suit on, but he wasn't reeking a veil. Nah, just like he got in with like a coffee, like he was just. It was fucking normal that he'd been in the casino for 48 hours. But just like, oh, cheers, mate. I was just sitting there thinking, what the fuck is going on here? Like, he played 12 months before he was in goal for Man U. I'm playing for Tramia, and now I'm picking him up at a casino. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? But just, honestly, the two of them were...
Did they get on?
Yeah. Like, really got on. But I think they both bounced off each other. I think they both had the same switch. Like when Roy lost it, Stevie would lose it because Roy lost it. But it's not like they'd lose it.
I thought you were going to say they calmed each other down, but no, they both...
They egged each other on. And it got worse. But we played... not like your Christmas do, you play on the Saturday. We're on the train going to London. And... like, we're all having, like, a sociable few beers and Roy and Stevie are sitting next to each other. Like, the only two keepers we've got just drinking red wine. So, like, they're having a laugh and you can see them talking to each other and, like, they do a fist pump. And then the next minute, it's a harder fist pump. And the next minute, mate, they're punching each other solidly, but, like, knuckle to knuckle. And I'm thinking, mate, we ain't got a fucking keeper. These two fucking... But it's like, I'm stronger than you, no, you're stronger than me. But they'd just be at it all the time, but like best mates. And then it'd be like, go on, we leave it now. And they'd just like be back to normal, like, I like parking, lad. Are you having a nice beer there? Like, mate, are you fucking serious? You used to. Absolute lunatics.
It's incredible, isn't it? Characters, man.
But literally just sat on the train, mate, just punching each other in the hands. But like, you know, like you go, and then it's like harder. Harder, and before you know it, mate, they're knocking fuck out of each other's fists. I'm like, you do know you just need them. We've got fucking England's number one and fucking Northern Ireland's number one here, and we've got them punching each other. Just fucking crazy. But they both brought it out themselves. They could just be sitting there normal. It's like they have like a little discussion together. And they're like, come on, should we start now?
Chuckle.
It's like, fuck off. He's too fucking sure.
The balloons, man.
That's up there. One of the best stories I've ever heard on here. Yeah. In fact, ever.
Mate, honestly, I couldn't believe it. I'm just sitting there thinking, what's he going to do here? Because he's done loads of stuff. Like, we had a physio that wasn't a physio. So he worked for the physio department, but he wasn't a qualified physio.
Sports therapist or something?
Sports spy, I used to call him. So he come with Nigel, but he was like a spy. Yeah, he made a fatal decision of when he came in and introduced himself in the physio room. He said, I'm Nigel's eyes and ears. Whatever's said in here, if I think that it needs to go back to him, I'll go and tell him.
He's not very good spy, is he?
But he said it from the off-go, so it'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, why have you just said that? So Rob Hull straight away, he's like, yeah, you could, there was windows so you could see them walking up. The famous shouts, would you, for £1 million, would you let Brownie shag your bird? Not you, Brownie, this fellow was called Brownie. Would you let Brownie smash your bird? But he was like, must have been 35 stone, mate. Like, massive, fat, just look like he stunk of sweat constantly. Or it'd be, for £1 million, would you let Brownie shit on your head? Or like just stupid schoolboy stuff. But they'd always say it when he was walking up, just so he could hear it. So one of the lads made a story up. I think Bywater made a random story up. I can't remember the story. That he'd been out and he'd been drinking. And we had the night before a game, just to see. Like Brownie had said it early doors, that he was the eyes and ears. But we didn't know who, because the gaffer was finding things out. But when we were talking, he weren't even there. He was still finding out about stuff. So he said something in the dressing, in the physio room when Brownie's been in there. And Nigel's pulled Stevie, said, like, you shouldn't be out doing whatever you're doing. And Stevie'd made it up just to see if it got back to him.
It's fucking Colleen Rooney and
Rebecca
Vardy. Vardy job, yeah. Innit?
So Brownie's job, mate, on a Friday, he used to take all the tapes out the tape bag. Must have been 300 of them.
What, this?
The strap and stuff, yeah. And then put them all back in the same place. So, like, to keep him busy, you know, like, so he looked like he was doing something. So, Bywater, we come in on the Saturday morning because we was injured and they were travelling away. I think I was injured, he weren't playing. And they were travelling away. So, when he come in, Brownie weren't in. So, Stevie got remember the little blades that you cut the hard skin off? Mate, just cut all the stitching out the bottom of the bag. Like, the big bags. Not like the little physio run-on bag. The big one that the physio takes with all the spray. Undone all the stitching. So we're just sitting there. I'm icing. He's in the gym with the window looking in. The bus is leaving. So Brownie's running to get his bag, mate. As he's lifted his bag up, the fucking ass is the bag, mate. And the fucking tapes have just gone. Mate, he started crying. I swear to God. He just started crying. Like, uncontrollably. So I'm sitting there like trying to ice my leg because I'd done my other cruciate by this time. So I've got my other cruciate's gone. So there's tapes all over the floor. I'm laughing. He's crying. Bywater's banging on the window, pointing at him. He's bending down. His fucking ass has gone out of his shorts. It's just full crack every minute. Nigel comes in. He's like, Brownie, fucking hurry up. So he's like picking all the tapes up. He's throwing them in. Remember the Muller ice bags?
Yeah.
He's throwing the tapes in his ice bag to like try and get on the bus in time, mate. It was just fucking absolute carnage, but all caused by Stevie. Just because he made a story up, just to see if it got back, and it was Brownie who got put it back. So he cut the arse.
Get back.
Yeah, so he cut the arse out of his tape bag.
I like putting effort in.
Yeah.
Oh, you mate, know, he had
every little planning. Stitch.
Mate, yeah. He had some fucking conspiracy story, Stevie. Like, he'd obviously fell out. In fact, it was Sav. Sav fell out. Sav then become a bit ostracised because he was on Big Dough, and he wasn't going to play because Nigel cut the budget. He started signing players from fucking Burton and lower level players who came on to be good players, like Brayford, people like that, who've had fucking unbelievable careers. But Sav was probably the last person left. So he stopped playing him. And Sav, as I said earlier, Sav was really insecure. So we sat at breakfast, me, Sav, I think it was Bray, and Jamie Ward, just all sitting having breakfast as normal. Sav walks in, like, fucking going in. I've had enough of this. I'm fucking going in. I'm going to speak to him. I can go to Brighton here on loan. I'm going in. They're like, go on, Sav. Fucking, he's taking a piss. Go in. He's like, right, I'm going in. Next minute, Gary Crosby walks in. Sav, the gaffer wants you. So he walks out and Sav turns to us. He goes, this is my chance. I'm like, mate, fucking tell him. Like, he's, yeah, you're on good money, but it's not your fault. You still should be playing. So Sav goes in. We're all waiting in the canteen. Sav comes back, mate, white as a ghost. Like, the life had drained out of him. We're like, mate, what happened? He went, you won't believe it. We're like, go on. He went. He said to me, I'm not going to play. But he's had a call off ITV. And I can go on, I'm a celebrity. Get me.
Mate, he told him he can go on the show.
You're going all over to Jungle.
With an Anton Deck on. Mate, I don't want to take you.
That's what he called him in for. Now we could go on the Jungle.
Fuck me, man.
They called him in to say he could go on the Jungle.
Well, I think that's another one.
Yeah.
Like,
you could just, if you could picture him, like his hair's, he's had his hair done, so he's got a ponytailed up, he looks fucking well. He's like, I'm going in, lads. I'm going to tell him, come back, mate, fucking bobble out. He looks fucking
snappy, dude, mate. He said, I can go in the jungle.
He thought he was going on loan to Brighton, mate. He ended up in the jungle.
I've had ITV on.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming out.
I've had the producers on, lads, and going in the jungle.
Funny enough, he ended up going to Brighton, though. He end up at Brighton, mate. He fucked the jungle off.
Because probably his insecurities, he'd be thinking, I can still do a job as a footballer.
Yeah.
And he's come out thinking, he's trying to flog me to the fucking jungle.
I'm going in the jungle, lads. But he was, no, like, he's fucking pristine, mate, fully gelled back, ponytail looked lovely. Come back, mate, fucking frizzy bomb. Just like, fuck that, lads. Going in the fucking jungle.
That's incredible.
Did you get on with Clough?
Yeah. I did, mate. At the start, it was a bit, because I was young, he was very much like his dad. Obviously, I didn't know what his dad was like, but from speaking to people, his traits were very similar.
Yeah.
Like, I'd play up front in a championship on Saturday, but then played left back for the reserves on Monday, just because I was a young lad. Like, that's right, the way he treated you.
Yeah,
and it was like,
yeah,
it was like he just grounded you like straight away.
Yeah,
you'd be walking down the corridor, mate. You had this thing about walking around with a cricket ball. You used to walk around the whole training ground with a cricket ball, and just fucking lash it at you from nowhere. So you'd just be walking to breakfast, he'd like pop round the corner, see you, and just go fuck off.
No warning.
No warning. Nothing, mate.
Cocky.
Yeah, just fucking full on get down, catch him.
Well, the thing is, his dad did that.
Yeah.
His dad did that with football, didn't he, if you remember?
Yeah. I think we didn't have a cricket ball.
Or a tennis ball.
Tennis ball, yeah.
Yeah, mate,
he took it up a notch with a cork.
Did you not throw it at Gemmo? A football at Gemmo?
Yeah, that was the one that was in the middle of the dressing room. But right. He always used to have a cricket ball or an air ball.
Yeah, mate, we come in from training. We were on a really bad run. Like, lost five on the bounce. Dreading coming in Monday morning. Know that feeling of fucking we're getting it here. Like, I've drove in, mate, and the groundsman is just going up and down on the same spot, just cutting the grass. Like, literally just in a line, up and down. I'm thinking, has he been on the aisle? Like, what the fuck's going on here? Walk in the dressing room, there's two squads. So I'm thinking, what a game, what the fuck's going on? Go through the door. Mate, there's Nigel putting Schlesinger all whites out. Like, full whites, cricket whites, everything. He's got 11 there. He's got 11 over there. I'm like, all right, Gaffer. He's like, you're any good at cricket, son? I'm like, I'm all right. He's like, I'll have you on my team. So he's like, this is my team. So we're fucking getting all whited up, come out to training. He's like, right, lads, batting team, you just can have a few beers while your two are in. So the lads are, like, we've lost all five on the spinny at the time. So the lads are getting pissed on the fucking behind the boundary ropes at the saving ground. You've got 11 lads running round trying to catch cricket balls. You've got two lads in the middle who are fucking filled in because they've just been drinking. But at this time, Bywater still is playing. So someone hits the ball, mate, and Bywater's running after it, right? And this is on my kid's life. Bywater slides the catcher, dislocates his thumb, right? So Bywater snapped his thumb. So he's like, that's the physio. Sully, fuck. So Sully's like, picks his bag up, runs on. As Sully runs on, mate, he pops his hamstring. So the physio is now hobbling over to Bywater. Bywater gets up, walks over to the physio. The physio's on the floor like that.
Cricket balls flying everywhere.
Mate, there's balls flying everywhere. Next minute, all like the gates open and all the girls start coming in. Like all our families just start driving in. I'm thinking, what the fuck's going on here? Next minute, there's big minibuses start pulling up. Mate, on a family fun day on the fucking training ground. The chefs come out barbecue. So we've played cricket in the morning. We fucking kids are on a bouncy castle being pulled out of school. Sasha's over there having a glass of wine with Nigel's missus. Bywater's got his hand in the fucking ass. And the physio's lying on his own physio bed.
And you've lost five in a row.
And we've lost five in a row.
Yeah, man. Oh, God. That is just his old... You can just imagine the old man doing it, can't you?
Mate, honestly, so good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.